I just want to start off, as always, with prayer. So if you would bow your heads. Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for your presence being here in this place. But more importantly, we thank you for your presence being on us and within our hearts, Lord God. We ask that the words that come out of my mouth come straight from you, Lord God. Get rid of me, Lord God. Cause me to step out of myself and into your presence, that your people might hear a word that's untainted straight from heaven. We thank you, Lord God, for all that you're going to do. And we thank you for every life that's represented here, Lord God, that you are working out. You're causing us to go through the process of seeing your manifested glory in our lives. We thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. I don't know where to start. Kristen, when she said, I got up here and I didn't know what to say and I'm outside my element. I said, yes, that's me too. Because of the type of person that I am, Leah, don't say anything. I'm a type A, what I call a type A personality. I plan for planning. And the Lord is, I feel like the Lord is trying to do something. And I want to be obedient, because this morning Pastor Jerry said, come off the script. And I thought, oh, Lord, I don't know how to come off the script. What do you mean? And I had texted Pastor yesterday and I said, Pastor, I haven't gotten anything, but I'm going to be quiet. And that was yesterday, before the Lord, and see what he does. So I'm here and I showed up too. And I'm praying that whatever the Lord has to say, it will not only speak to me, but it will speak to you. I do want to start with scripture, and it comes from Genesis chapter 50, verses 15 through 21. And I'm sure most of you are very familiar with the passage when it talks about Joseph. And it says, and starting in verse 15, and the wording might not read exactly there. Actually, I can read from there. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, what if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrong we did to him? So they sent word to Joseph saying, your father left these instructions before he died. I can read off my paper. In verse 17, it says, say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin because they did evil to you. And now please forgive the transgressions of the servants of the God of your father. Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, behold, we are your servants. But Joseph said to them, do not fear. For am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones. Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. And if you remember this story, Joseph was favored by his father, Jacob, and he was given this cloak of, you know, we talk about, I know in Sunday school, the coat of many colors, I believe. And, oh, I'm favored. And oftentimes, and I know Pastor has said it before, when we think of favor, we think of just the glitz and the glamour, or the plus side of being favored by God. But there's a little more to being favored by God. There's that process that Kristen was talking about earlier, and that the pastors often talk about, where favor, yes, that was a foretelling that, yes, there was favor on his life, but there was favor not only to be a part of God's glory, but also to go through some things, because God suffered also. And in that, what Joseph had to do, he ended up being sold into slavery, as we know, at the hands of his brothers. And so one might think, wait a minute, if I'm so favored, why must I go through what I go through? And so let's bring it into the 21st century to make it more relatable to our own lives, where we oftentimes, I know for myself, I question the suffering. Lord, but why? Lord, I just don't understand. And now I'm starting to get to a point where I am, okay, I okay, Lord, I hear you in it all. But when it's suffering because of choices I made, I have a hard time. But what if it's suffering because of someone else's hand? That adds a different layer. And with that, that's when I know a while ago I spoke about the perspective of God. That's when we've got to see the whole picture based on what God is saying and understand the revelation of what God wants to do in our lives, even when we look ugly. There's going to be that process. That's going to be there, that time period in which things don't look or seem that great. But we have to, once we get to that place, know that God wants to bring about something, not just only to deliver us and to make life better for us and to allow us to ascend into different, whether it's promotions naturally or ascending spiritually, growing closer. But he also wants to bring along those behind us or those next to us, those that are close to us. And so that's when we have to now see things from a different perspective and different level. So earlier this week, as I was going home, I sort of turned off my radio and got quiet. And I was saying, Lord, I know I don't spend time with you like I should. And immediately I sensed the presence just come over me. And immediately he said, I want to be the very essence or the fabric of who you are, who I am through you. It's not that I want you to just, okay, Lord, I'm going to spend this time and plan out what Christianity looks like in your life. I want everything about you to include me. That means that when you wake up and you take your breath, everything, deciding of, Pastor said it before, and I didn't fully understand the deciding of your vacations. Lord, where do you want us to go? What, because you don't know whose lives you're going to be touching while you're on those vacations. The jobs that we work, it has nothing to do with the income. It's got everything to do with God. God has ordained us, whether we like the jobs or not, for us to be in that place. There's purpose. Maybe some of it you'll hear about, some you may never see. There are people that are watching us. There are people that just need to talk and vent. They may say something like, I just need to be in the peace right now. Can I sit here with you for a moment? They may not want you to ever say anything, but they just want a chance to sort of, in a sense, unload. But that's okay. Because isn't that, after all, what Christianity is about? We're supposed to be love. Aren't we supposed to be? Isn't that the kingdom within us? And so I said, okay, Lord, the fabric, what do you mean, Lord? Everything, every essence of who, raising our children, everything that we're doing, our grandchildren, our spouses, our loved ones. And we have to start handling them a lot differently than what we used to. Because I know for myself, I had, now I'm going to tell them, as a parent, I had set expectations of what I expect of my children. I made these sacrifices. Hear all the eyes that I'm saying. I made all the sacrifices. I get up and go to work every day. I provide food and shelter. I. This is my expectation of you. Not one time have I said God. And so when we think about it, we have to remember that that person is an individual, and God has created and molded and designed and weaved into their lives that which he wants to see come out of their lives. It's great for us to have expectations, parents, but what did God say? We're just merely tools. Not just parents, spouses too. We can't dictate how our spouses behave. We can't dictate how those that are really close to us behave. We now have to allow God to be the master designer of their life, just like he is for our own lives. Because if we put our hands in it, there could be resentment on that person's end, and they may never truly really understand what it is to allow God to really be the designer of their lives. And so I said, okay, Lord, okay, well, but the fabric, if you really think about what fabric is, it involves thread, it involves material. God wants to be every piece. And he's still showing me really what that means. Because yes, I'm gonna make my mistakes. I'm gonna do things that I shouldn't do. But I'm no longer gonna have the pity parties, and I'm no longer gonna continue to beat myself up when I do make the mistakes. And I'm saying me, but I don't want you to do the same, because it's easy to sort of outline. Okay, well, this worked for this person. They did this. They went to school. They did this, or they got out of high school. They got this type of job. I'm gonna outline my life like that. But that may not be the design God has for your life. And that's where the depending on Christ and really asking God, what is it that you're saying for me? Because if you really look, each and every one of us, our lives are so unique. And he wants it that way. That's what makes him so awesome. He doesn't want my life to be identical to Pastor Jerry's. He doesn't want my life to be identical to Kristen's, and she's my best friend. He wants each and every one of us to have a unique life, because what we may go through or what we may live, good, bad, or bad, will help someone else. And it will cause others to come. Not to us or to a church per se, but to Christ. And to really grow and understand and what it means for Christ to truly be the designer of their lives. And so I won't be much longer before you. As I pondered the scripture of Joseph, and a line that stood out for me was when Joseph, when he was confronted by his brothers, and now he's being asked to help those that threw him into slavery. He said, "Do not fear." He says, "For am I in the place of God?" To me, I feel like Joseph at that point, God had already molded his heart and shown him something. He had a revelation of what God's purpose had been. Yes, his father Jacob favored him, but more importantly, God the Father favored him more. And God wanted to do something, and there was a process that needed to happen for him to go through those things so that others might be saved. Thank you, Lord. And there's just one last part I do want to go over. I want to go over the revelation that, and I've said it already, that Joseph realized. He said that they meant it for evil. They meant it to hurt him. They meant it because they were resentful of him. But God had a different plan in mind. For each and every one of us, we can say that God meant whatever's happened. We can sort of, in our minds, go through different things that have happened in each and every one of our lives. And we could question, well, why did that person do that to me? Or why did this happen to me? And I'll share, this may not seem like a major story, but it's a major story for my son. When my son broke his leg, and I think he was 14 at the time, and he was 14 and his femur bone broke into two. And those of you, and even if you don't do practice medicine, all of us know that's the largest bone in the body. And it's pretty hard to break a femur bone at practice. And for him at 14 now, he has pins for the rest of his life. And he has done, I mean, granted, he's young, youth is on your side, and rehabilitation was quick, and he was back on the football field within a few months, against what I would have preferred. but I watched him. He went through the season, and he was fine, but I was always praying in the background, because I knew psychologically or in the mind, sometimes the devil tries to mess with you with the why. So I was trying to be open to if ever he's questioning, why did this happen to me? Because what was a child that's never had any health issues, now having health issues, now you can begin to say, well, why? Not one time did he ask me that. But I remember when I was in Outer Banks in October, it was late at night, and my son doesn't do a lot of talking unless he's in the mood. He calls me about 12, and I said, what's wrong, son? And he said nothing. I'm just sort of I'm in my feelings. I don't forgot the wording he said. But I knew immediately that he was struggling a little bit. with his mortality or who he was and now what, how it would affect his life. And I told him, I said, Aaron, things happen for a purpose. And I wanted him to refocus on, well, you're walking again, and, you know, refocus him on the positive. I said, but you need to remember, God protected you. Even though there was impact and there was some suffering that he had to go through the healing, God brought you through. Now, there's going to be a child, and he can sort of relate because I have my niece lives with diabetes. So he can sort of relate. He can now be an encouragement to someone else. Because there's going to be someone that will probably cross his path that will that may be going through something, maybe not as severe or maybe more severe. And now he has the empathy to be able to help somebody else. His suffering, I did not want to see my son go through that. I don't want to see any of my children suffer. None of us do. But sometimes, even when it looks ugly, and I would have done anything to have protected him from that. But there was purpose in that. And now we have to live through the process of seeing God's glory even through that. Amen. Now, that's his story. That's just part of his story. He's only 15. There's more to come. That's one piece of his life. The next level will be another level of growth. Now, each one of us, we can sort of think about, Lord, this is what's happened. Where can I grow from there? And how can I see you in it all? I want to end with just a few points. God does not desire that we simply carve out time to be with him. God wants the very essence of our lives to be by his design. God does not desire that we simply carve out time to be with him. You know, that quiet time, that gap time. That's fine. That's a good thing. But even more importantly, he wants the very essence of our lives to be by his design. The design for each of our lives is unique. Not one of us are identical. God wants us to allow him to use himself to weave the design of our lives. He wants to take the good and the bad in our lives and make it for his good and for his glory. He understands that there's sometimes we put our hands in it, that we mess up things. But all he simply wants us to do is say, Lord, I do need you. And then he can be allowed to do the rest. And that's all I have.
Praise the Lord. Good job. Good job. The fabric of our lives. As she was ministering, Rob, you know we're going to call Rob up here. I was hoping he was going to call Rob. Where's Michelle? There she is. I put my hand to fabric for a few years, and I made 90% of her and Tina's clothing. I made some for Marvin, Rob, until he couldn't wear the elastic because I didn't know how to do the waistband. See, I was an amateur at this. So all I could do was put the elastic. And so when he got too old for that, I had to give up sewing for him. But as she was ministering, the fabric, the dyes, with us being individual, to make one garment, you get one kind of fabric. To make another type garment, you get another type fabric. And then you have to cut it and sew it and stretch it and press it and wash it for it to come out to be something presentable for someone to wear. Now, isn't that just like God in our lives? Some of us are silk, some polyester, some rayon, some wool. Help me, Rob. Cotton. The fabric of our lives. Seersucker. Michelle didn't like seersucker. But he's going to take whatever fabric we are, and he's going to cut it for his glory. Like she said, we may have one idea of what we want that piece of fabric to look like and to be. But from our mother's womb, he had another plan. And most of us have messed up. Michelle, how much fabric did I mess up before I learned how? Most of us, our lives are in the disarray that it is in because we're trying. We're trying to make our lives be what we want it to be, like she said about her son. I'm not going to be silk. I'm going to be polyester. I don't want to be cotton. I want to be. And so God's working on you to get you back into. Isn't he wonderful that he just don't leave us out there and all of our disobedience and rebellion? Of course, as Christians, we don't rebel. But that's a wonderful story with Joseph. Joseph had to yield the fabric of his life to God. There's no way he could have at the end. There's no way. That wasn't flesh and blood. That say, brothers, I forgive you. What God meant for, what you meant for harm, God meant for good. He had had an encounter with heaven. He knew what his fabric of his life was. Wasn't that coat that dad gave him. It wasn't that coat. It was something deeper than that. That coat was just the essence to propel him into what God really had for him. Isn't that something? From the pit, we always say from the pit to the palace. It wasn't that shortcut. Y'all know how we shortcut stuff. I used to like the Jiffy patterns. See, y'all never saw them. Y'all don't have a clue what I'm talking about. Jiffy patterns got 4 or 5 pieces. Quick, easy. And that's what kind of lives we want. You want Jiffy pattern lives. God, if you want to do this, you better do it quick. Or I'm out. I'm trying to think. Vogue. I was trying to think of that pattern. Vogue pattern come with 900 pieces. And you better know what you're doing. You better have more than thread in a sewing machine. I'm serious. It's going to take you weeks just to cut to get the fabric laid out. Just to get the fabric. See, God takes time sometimes. We have to be laid out. You have to lay that fabric on a board, right, Rob? Then mark it. Then pin it. Come on now. Then he has to cut it. You know, and we got to have him on the right bias. Yeah. See, if we are the fabric of heaven, can we understand now why we've been where we've been and understand where we might be going, where we're going? Because God making a unique fabric, a pattern, a design. He has a design and purpose in mind for all of us. But Joseph had a divine encounter for him to make that statement to his brothers. He went to jail, to the dungeon. Then when he got out, the wife of Potiphar tried to set him up. He was innocent. He ran and left his jacket. He thought he did the rough thing, but when he left that jacket, that set him up. But he went through these processes and these stages. The cooks had a dream. They got out of prison. The dungeon was supposed to remember him. But at the end, he could say, y'all meant it for harm. But everything I went through, can we stand up here this morning and say everything, Pastor Love, I went through, God didn't mean it for my harm. God didn't mean it for my harm. He meant it for my good, to strengthen me and to grow me and to make me something beautiful and wonderful in his sight. Not in man's sight, but in his sight. Yes, let us yield to the process and become God's glory, as she said. Don't take God's glory from him. When God deals with us and takes us into certain encounters, and we have to go through certain troubles, just love God anyway. Because God, I know you're doing something wonderful and magnificent in the end. The beginning don't look too good. It's ugly, Chris. But oh, the beauty of the end. The beauty of Jesus' resurrected body that was unrecognizable. If he suffered, we must suffer with him. That we might reign with him. And that we might be his true sons and daughters. He doesn't want any wimps. What does Richard call them? Cowards. He wants men and women Christians that would allow him to, even as you said something, she said according to what she thought Christianity was. Most of us are messed up because of what we think Christianity is. And God's trying to do something in us and we say, oh no, that's not Christianity. That's not God. But he's teaching us what true Christianity is. Pick up your cross and follow me. That's true Christianity. Be willing to go through what I, when we were at the Outer Banks, we found out, and I'm going to sit down, nothing that comes upon our lives doesn't come through Christ first. He sifts out what he knows Mike can handle. He may give Rob a little bit more because he knows what? What Rob can handle. Nothing comes upon us that doesn't come in through his eyes and his hand. He measures our conflicts. So we can relax and rest because we know in the end, it's victorious. It's victory. It's victory. And it's for his glory. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Jerry. Thank you, Ataba. We have just wonderful words spoken to us today. I guess my first statement is Ataba. You know, you just love Ataba, right? She's just so genuine and very, very real. And if she doesn't, she's not going to pretend to work on things or to try to be something that she's not. So I love hearing from her. I love hearing when she speaks. And the words she spoke today, I know were from heaven. I know from the Holy Spirit. And Pastor Jerry Pack backed them up. So here's how we have to close today. What she said and Pastor Jerry said, there is a false idea of Christianity that's invaded the earth and the body of Christ. And that we all have to be delivered from it, right? We got to be delivered from this false idea of Christianity and get into the true root of it and start getting into our true destiny. You know, there's this idea, you know, this, I remember this phrase and it has bothered me and I hope nobody gets offended when I say it, but I have to bring it up to make a point. How are you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored. Okay. So and you probably said it too, and I'm going to get on you a little bit. Because now if you say it according to what they said, I'm going to say, oh, are you going through some rough trials?
Like Mary did.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to be chastised hard like Mary was? Are you going to be rejected like Mary was? Are you going to walk in all kind of soulish, you know, because your son is getting, you know, always persecuted? Are you sure you want to say that you're blessed and highly favored? See, we have this romantic idea. I'm blessed, and it's all external. You don't even notice. I'm blessed and highly favored. No, I got a car. I got a house. I got no problems. I got this. I got that. I got this. I got that. It's a false idea. You know, Mary went through a lot of stuff. And you know what? When Joseph got the revelation that he needed to go through what he went through to get to the second highest place on the earth.
Come on now.
Second highest place on the earth. He couldn't get there unless he went to the dungeon first. And I'm seeing him down in that dungeon saying, I'm blessed and highly favored. Because I can see, by the Spirit, I can see where I'm going to come out. We complain too fast. Do you know God doesn't miss a beat? He didn't say, oh, that one got by me. I'm sorry, Joyce, you know, letting Satan, your enemies, got you that time. No, he knows what you can stand. But without that, you can't get to the heavenly realm. You cannot get to his kingdom purposes in your life. You can't get to higher material blessings or more important spiritual blessings without some trouble. See, this is where we lose people. It's where we lose them. Okay, that's the last time I'm coming there. But you can mark my word. Whatever's going on in your life, whatever way they're treating you on your job, God means it for good. They don't like you, God means it for good. Because first of all, we got to learn not to be impacted by it. We got to learn not to go by how people feel about us. It takes a deliverance. We all want to be liked. We want to be liked. And so God's going to send some people your way. God is. Then not the devil. God is. Who don't like you. So you can grow in love. Otherwise you won't grow in love. He's going to send some people your way. I'm saying God's going to do it. And he's going to say, okay, they don't like you. What you going to do? You going to get on the phone? They can tweet, whatever. You going to tweet? You know, it's just another word for gossip. You know, I want to say this. And I don't know why I was thinking about this all week. Now I do. And God, you know, you get, I love what Tava sharing. You know, you have your quiet times, but then your fabric. You know, that's why when God's the fabric of your life, even if you don't think you have anything to say, when they get up and put that mic in front of you, something's going to start rolling out because it's in your fabric. You didn't have to prepare anything. It's in the fabric. You know, that you are a sermon. You are a message. You are a living epistle. You don't have to study, study, study. But the hell, during my fabric time, this impression came on me that, have you ever seen people who gossip close to the Lord? I never thought about that. I don't see gossipers loving you like you. See, the more we talk, the harder it's going to get close to God. The more we, and see, I'm saying gossip, I hope I can say it this morning, Sunday morning, because it's all about tendency. Can I say it like that? It's all about tendencies to want to tell how wrong we've been done. We have a tendency. That's human. We have a tendency. Okay? So now since we're picking on Rob, so now I'm going to allow some people to do Rob wrong to see if he can close his mouth. To see if he won't revile. Right? Who had the definition of revile? See if we, can you read it again? See if we won't revile. Right? Can you keep your mouth struggling, criticize? Can you stop criticizing? Right? We in America have a lot to criticize. Just turn on the news. Immediately you're going to see room for criticism. You got to be quiet. I don't care if everybody else around you criticizing. You got to be quiet. See, because he said, people who criticize God, they don't get close to God. They don't happen. Because you won't let him in your spirit enough to calm you down. So, Joseph, you're going to go in the pit. By your brothers. This is by your brothers. This is not by your enemies. It's not even by your enemies. This is by your brothers. Why? I got to break something down in you. I got to deliver you from you. Yes, ma'am.
Matthew 5 and 10 said, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you and falsely, but it's all for my sake. He says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad because great is your reward in heaven.
All right, blessed are you, right? How you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored. Oh, they're talking about you. You're being reviled. You're down in the mud of life. Nobody likes you. I'm blessed and highly favored. We got to turn that around, guys. We got to turn that around. Because, see, we cannot. This is this message. This is this message by this woman right here. That we cannot grow. Aaron cannot grow into his destiny without trouble. If everybody likes him, he's in trouble. We struggle for acceptance with people. We fight for it, you know. Don't say, I'm not like that. Ask so-and-so, can you just be quiet? Let God take care of you. See, this is where love is missing. This is where we get out of the spirit. This is where we can't find our destiny because we're too caught up on us. Joseph, you're going in the pit to deliver you from you. You think you something. I think I'm something. I got to get you down somewhere. I just can't read it to you. I can't preach you a sermon about it. I've got to put you in the situation. And I'm going to go down there with you, by the way. This is what the Lord Jesus say. You won't be alone in the cross. You won't be alone down in the pit. But that's where I start tenderizing your heart. To make you love. You got to see this. You got to see this, right? See, we want blessings. God, just bless me. Bless me going in. Bless me going out. Bless me in the field. Bless me in the, you know. Just bless me. Okay, yeah, I'm going to bless you. After the day, I'm going to really bless you. You know, Shelley had that dream. We want the waterfall. We want the pretty scenery. But I'm going to take you in the jungle. But you can't see your way out. But the big test of spiritual growth is you got to know me in the jungle. You got to know me in the pit. You got to know me in the hard places. And that's where I grow you. We're so defensive. You can't call me that. You know, people say, I'm okay. People can do what they say. As soon as they say it to you, though, something riles up, right? You can't talk to me like that. Over and over. Well, they said that to me over and over. They can't talk. When are we going to grow up? When are we going to grow up? When are we going to let that stuff bounce off? And let Christ work in us, his image. When we're gonna, here's the point. Here's one of the points. Joseph can't come out of that pit and say it's God meant it for good. He cannot come out there and say that and mean that without the Holy Spirit being with him. That's not in man. That's not in you and it's not in me. Holy Spirit, I'm in this pit. You know the only way I get out. With the right attitude is by your help. You become the fabric of my life in this pit. You put me on the board. You whatever, you know, whatever else y'all said, because I'm kind of lost in this area. You put me on the board and do some string or something. What else would y'all say? Help me, Miss Michelle. Okay, right? Glow said, like, talk sports, and then. But they sounded pretty good. Cut, pin, or something. Sounds like it takes some time. That's all I'm trying to get to. Not quick. Sometimes you might prick your finger. We never did that in basketball, but sometimes you might prick your finger. Are y'all following this critical teaching? See, your life has to change. Your life has to change. Here's your Heavenly Father looking at you and said, I love you, but I got to change you. Get on my board. Get on my board and let me pin you and, you know, shape you and everything else it takes in there. And it's not going to feel good, right? Because, see, Derek might become a pin to Robert. In other words, it hurts him. It pricks him. And Robert still got to walk in with Derek in love. That's a part of the shaping. It's just a part of shaping. I'm a pin, Pastor Glow a pin. I guarantee you Pastor Mike's a pin. Ask Shanique. I guarantee Pastor Mike a pin. But we need him. I'm reshaping by the Spirit, blessed and highly favored. That's all I'm trying to do. So we got this whole romantic idea about it, you know.
Tell you, Pastor, without that pen, you can't go any further with what you're trying to design.
Without that pen, you can't go any further. So here comes God through Robert with a pen in your life. I'm just using Robert as an example. See, we got this wonderful message from this lady right here today. This is a practical, in-life, spiritual message, right? This is not a pomp and circumstance kind of, you know. This is right. Do you know your God? Do you know your God and how he works? He's not going to leave you alone about this. I mean, you can go somewhere else, and they can talk other stuff for a while, but you're going to always get back to this. Because he wants to bless you. But not the way you think it is. His ways aren't our ways, and his thoughts aren't our thoughts. Say, God, I thought you was good. See, here's another one. God, you were good. And you say, all the time, right? So that means all the time, he's going to be pinning you. You expect it when you get out of here. I'm not. See, we learn through suffering. We learn obedience through suffering. Y'all can blame this on Stan. He was sharing this at breakfast one morning. Stan said, I think we got to suffer. See, I know it sounds, religion has been warped, especially in the West, for hundreds of years. And so just think about it. Think about the church in general. We have a lot of stuff going on, but there's not a whole lot of love. There's not a whole lot of forgiveness. There's not a whole lot of power. There's not a whole lot of, you know, Christ-likeness in it, you know. Listen, we come together when there's a tragedy. But as soon as the tragedy is over, I'm ready to fight you again. Because nothing was learned on the inside. See? So here's what Tarver's saying. Think about what you went through in your life. And we need to stop and say, God, thank you for what that happened. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you. I didn't like it. I'm not saying you liked it. I didn't like it. But at some point, we have to say, God, I couldn't have gotten stronger on the inside. The world has a saying, no pain, no gain. But in the spirit, it's the same way. See, if there's no pain, as human beings, we want just free, 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 bless, 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 bless. Come on, bless, 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 free, 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 bless, bless, bless.
It's not going to be without pain, and knowing who God is and how God moves. You know, the perspective of how God moves in our lives is all. It's not always going to be the way we think it should be, or the way we even understand it to be, because we don't understand the ways of God. Anyway, one time I was in the hospital and I had got C. diff, and I was so upset with God. And I kept saying, Lord, why you let me get this? Why you let me get this? I was so sick. God, I was sick. Worst pain. I mean, I know pain. There's one thing I know is pain, but that was painful and disgusting. Anyway, when I finally, and then I was put on quarantine, I couldn't leave my room.
And so when I was finally able to leave my room, I was going for a walk down the hall, and I walked past this man's door, and he was like, "Hey, hey, you." And so I stepped back to his door, and I spoke to him. His name, a Caucasian man named Eddie. I'll never forget his name. He gave me his Bible. And he was confined to the bed. He couldn't get out the bed. And his leg was up in the air, and this man had the biggest screws going through his legs I had ever seen. And we were talking, and he must have saw my eyes kept drifting to his legs. I was trying to keep my eyes on his face, but they kept drifting to his leg. Because I kept saying, "God, those are some big screws going through his legs." And he said, "I noticed you keep looking at my leg." He said, "You might not believe this." He said, "But this is the will of God." Apparently, he was in a motorcycle gang. And apparently, the one he was in, they don't just let you out if you want to get out. You have to either get really hurt bad where you can't ride anymore or near death or whatever. And he ended up in a horrible accident. And that happened to his leg. His leg ended up being broken in like four or five places. And that's why he had all the pins and screws in it. And he said, "I said, God," he said, "God told him to get out the gang." He said, "I said, God, if you want," he said, "the gang was not a good gang." He said, "God, if you want me out this gang, I need your help getting out because you know they're not going to let me out." A week later, he was in a terrible accident, hence the leg with all the pins in it. And when he came out of surgery, he said, he looked at his leg. He said, "Thank you, Lord."
She ran back to her room.
And I text Apostle, and I said, "Can I call you?"
Yeah, she called me. She called me. She called me.
I said, "What I thought was God."
Yes. This teaching is extremely important. Ataba's message is extremely important. Joseph's own brothers, his flesh and blood. But God had something higher than flesh and blood as a purpose for his life. Your children have something higher than flesh and blood. Their mothers and fathers, they have something higher. Thomas said she didn't want to see her son suffering. Who does? God has a better thought about this. I remember reading a story about a man had a dream. And he dreamed that he was stranded on an island. That reminded me of it. He and some other people were stranded on an island. And they kept asking God, why, you know, the pity, you know, God, why? And then he said, the Holy Spirit said, "Stop asking me why and just learn how to get out." It's not my will for you to stay on there. But I'm going to teach you how to get out and bring you to a whole new level of life, learning how to get delivered from your problems that you wouldn't learn otherwise unless you got in captivity. I hope your minds are being renewed. Wherever you are, there's a way out, but it's by the Spirit. Wherever you are, I don't care what you're in. Sure, God wants you to, you know. The highly favored is where you are now, not when you get out. Are you listening to me? The highly favored is not when you get out. It's where you are now. You got to get your mind renewed when you're in the circumstance. God, give me wisdom from above. I'm highly favored. Your wisdom will get me out of here. I'm telling you wherever you are. See, our first reaction to bad situations is to cry and pity and sulk a little bit, right? That's all of us. We just sulk. Why this happened to me? You know, I should have done this. Who cares? Okay, God, get me out. Even if it's your own fault, get me out. Help me, Holy Spirit. I need you for my fabric. I was just using you in certain situations. Now I see I need you as my fabric. See, that's a revelation right there. So now for us, all life can be difficult. But as long as he's my fabric, I'm still walking, stepping in this higher realm with it. because he keeps getting me. I pass this one. I pass that one. I get out of the next one. I get out of the next one. And then you get to the point where you can't wait for the next one because you know he's going to get you out of that one too. Because they're going to come. Where are you in life? Whew. We're climbing this higher scale, this higher ladder, right? I'm almost hesitant to say this one. But you guys, you know what I'm saying. I think there's a song maybe even. If there was no trouble, then I wouldn't know he could solve it or something like that. So really it starts to be like this, Sylvia. God, put me on your board wherever I need it. Because I know I need it. Pin me up. Cut me up, whatever else me up, until I come out like you want me to be, not like I want to be. And you die to yourself and get on the board. Amen. Right? Can we thank God for Tabitha Thomas? It's just beautiful stuff. Okay, Tony, can you close us in prayer? In prayer, though, because I think it's enough said today. Thank you.
All right. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now, Lord God, for this message, oh Lord God. Heavenly Father, this message, oh Lord God, of transformation, Lord God, we just thank you for it, Lord God. Heavenly Father, the seeds have been planted, Lord God. We just pray that it will be warden in your garden, Lord God. Heavenly Father, let it be more real to us every day, oh Lord God, as we as you move in our lives day by day. So, Lord God, we just thank you, Lord God. We just pray that everyone was blessed by this word and you keep them until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.